So years ago, I'm down in Miami, Boca Raton, Palm Beach, whatever. And I decide I'm going to start doing politics on my sports show. The first guy to do that. Now, maybe Keith Olbermann did it, I don't know. But I was the first in Miami to actually start to move towards politics along with the sports. So I purposely went out and tried to find guys that were really big-time sports people, but also were really bright entrepreneurs, a political sense, all that good stuff. And I put together a roster of about 4 to 5 guys. I'm going to be completely honest with you folks right now here in New York City. This next guest was my best one. Best one.
He's brilliant. I've seen him many times on Fox News.
CNBC, all those stations. Now, from 74 through 85, he was one of the best quarterbacks in football. He actually took the Redskins to consecutive Super Bowls, a 17 win over Miami, and an 18 appearance against the Raiders. A star at Notre Dame, even in the College Football Hall of Fame back in 2003. So he had a wonderful NFL career. But as Bernie just said, he's a brilliant guy. He's got businesses all over the place. So Joe Theismann is our next guest. It's always great to talk to Joe. Joe, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm good, Sid. Bernie, you too. Well, it's great to catch up with you guys. You know, it's really funny. Growing up in Jersey, I used to listen to ABC, and it was it sort of brings back some memories just listening to some of the stuff just before we went on the air. But it was it's great.
Right.
I'm doing well. I hope everybody out there is staying safe and you know, adhering to the guidelines. I mean, we've gotten to a point where we're opening things up more and more now simply because people have been smart and doing the right thing.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. And Joe was a New Brunswick, New Jersey guy. And I felt the same way. I'd be down in Miami and I would hear.
Sid, South River.
I'll get all those calls
from everybody in South River.
Excuse me.
You're hilarious. South River. And I would do the same thing. I'd be out in Miami and hear the traffic on the GW Bridge and actually miss it. But, you know, you talk about reopening now and adhering to all of the policies and doing the right thing. Now Joe, I know you own restaurants in D.C. And are those still open? What businesses right now are you trying to maintain during this difficult time?
Well, first of all, I do motivational speeches basically as a primary job now. And then, of course, I do the other shows, which you mentioned. But I've had all of March, all of April, all of May, June, and everything's actually not all been canceled, but quite a few have been postponed to 2021. But all gatherings basically have been shut down. And in our restaurant, we still have the restaurant closed here in Alexandria, Virginia. My partners and I have seven. They have seven. I'm just a partner in the one. And the thing is what we're doing is we want to open the kitchen so that we can service the community. We want to service the elderly and do some things coming up here very shortly. But it's everybody, you know, this is not a light switch. That's the thing that everybody has to understand, Sid. This isn't like it came and it'll go. This is going to take some time and we need to be smart. And believe me, I know everybody is climbing a wall right now. They're going nuts. You've been cooped up forever. You want to just get out and do something. But I think now these next 3 weeks are so critical so that we can find out and continue to you know, garner data that says it is safe to go here. It is safe to do that. But we can't just, you know, cast caution to the wind and say, I'm not going to wear my mask. I see people out in grocery stores and I don't go many places, but you see them out without masks and it's like, there is no thing as normal anymore. That's what everybody has to understand. And I don't look at this from a business standpoint. People say, I don't like change. Well, change is coming, and I'm a firm believer that people aren't opposed to change. They just don't want to be changed. Well, so this is an opportunity for us to be able to sort of reevaluate our families, ourselves, our futures, and everything else.
You're right, Joe Theismann on the Bernie and Sid Show. You're absolutely right. Look, especially indoors, the masks. It's not an unfair request. If we're going to open, you're going to wear a mask indoors. I agree to that. That's fine. Outdoors may be another topic. It might be because.
I agree.
But my question to you is this, Joe, because you have a divide, a blue state and a red state. It seems like the red states are more willing to follow the rules, to allow businesses like yourself, small businesses and big businesses as well, to act like adults and do the right thing, which they're capable of doing, whereas the blue states want to treat people like children, and they don't trust them to do the right thing, which they would do. I mean, the responsible people, they started their own business to begin with, so they have to have something on the ball. You got to give some trust, put some trust in the American people to do the right thing, and I think they will.
I agree with you. And, you know, the facts bear out exactly what you're saying is, you know, Georgia to me is a great template because it was the first state to open up. And so now we get to see what are the cases look like? Is there an occurrence, a continuing occurrence of the COVID virus? Is there an increase in numbers? You know, that's something to look at from a state standpoint. I thought President Trump did a tremendous job by not taking the responsibility of opening up this country on the shoulders of the administration.
Yeah.
What he basically did is he said to all the governors, I am empowering you to run your states. This is what you should do. And do it in a very cautious way. Do it in a phased way like we're doing it. But give the people a chance to be able to survive and live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't seen the worst of this yet economically. You know that, don't you?
No, I feel
that.
Oh,
no, it's still coming, right?
Unfortunately, that is something we're going to have to deal with going forward. You know, and regarding the restaurant business, I said this the other day, is we in the restaurant business, we need to police ourselves. We need to tell all of the restaurant owners in an area you live in a state you live in, look, adhere to the rules that are laid out. If we're 25% capacity, make sure you do it, because if you get shut down, it's not because people don't like you. It's because you violated something. We're given a chance now to be able to open up. So just follow the rules, and then we'll get to 50%.
Right.
And see how that flies. But I'm saying is I think it's important that the restaurant industry in itself, everywhere, has a chance to communicate with one another and say, listen, man, don't go to 50% if we're at 25.
Right.
Give it another month. I know it's tough. I know it's tough to furlough people. I know it's tough to cut salaries. I know it's tough to not get women and men and waiters and waitresses coming back, servers. It's difficult to get them to come back because they're making too much on unemployment.
That's right. They're killing it. So listen, so you're in the restaurant business. You're a motivational speaker. You've spoken about that. But let me turn the clock back, okay? Let's say, Joe Theismann, you're still, as you were, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, and this is going on, and you're at home, and you're self-quarantining and doing all the right things, and you get a call from Joe Gibbs, and he says, listen, Joe, we're getting back next week. Commissioner Tagliabue, or whoever it was back then, Roselle.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and play football. How would you feel about that?
I think, well, first of all, it's the same thing as the restaurant. You have to make sure that if you're going to be around a group of people, you're going to be tested on a daily basis. There's the likelihood of something possibly happening, but I would be willing to go and try and do it in some type of a capacity. I don't believe it'll happen in the next 3 weeks, though, Sid. I mean, realistically, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks, we get a chance to really get a feel. As the summer comes more and more, from what we understand from research, is that the virus doesn't survive as well in a warmer climate. So that's why I think you see the amount of cases down in the Florida area and warmer states, not quite as much as it is up north. New York and some of the other states.
Yeah. Hopefully that's a good omen for us.
And if he says, hey, look, if he says, come to work, you know, you go to work. Right now, the biggest challenge is for the new coaches. You know, there's 6 new coaches in the league, Ron Rivera being one here in Washington. How do you know, you're Zoom meeting with everybody right now. You're the defensive line coaches meeting with the defensive line on a Zoom call, conference call. And so, now you don't get to go face to face. You don't get to install your systems. You don't get to create a culture. Veteran coaches with veteran teams will distinctly have an advantage if and when football starts, and I believe we will have football. Now, will there be people in the stands?
No,
I don't know, but no. I went through this. In 1974, there was a strike in the National Football League. I was a rookie then. And Billy Kilmer and Sonny Jurgens did not go to camp. Actually, Sam Weiss was the other quarterback that I replaced. So Billy and Sonny didn't go. I went in and I played. I played at RFK Stadium, 55,000 seats, 3,000 people in the stands.
And wow.
It is eerie, I'm telling you. It's like a modified practice. There are more people at training camps around the National Football League watching practices then there probably will be in stadiums if we get started. But at least we'll get football back.
Well, that would be great. And with baseball, and hopefully, I pray to God, that it doesn't come down to pay. because right now it's bigger than pay. It would be a national morale booster for these athletes to go out there and play, even at a reduced rate.
Especially in baseball.
That's why the draft was so important.
Right.
The draft kicked off football. What, 9 million more viewers than they ever had? And I think they'll adopt some of the policies. You know, I've got a book coming out that releases next month, June 16th, called How to Be a Champion Every Day. And, you know, it's a business book with football stories in it. And the world of sports, the world of business, and our own lives all parallel one another.
Wow. So,
and we need to do, you know, from an athletic standpoint, baseball's talking about maybe 3 weeks from now starting to put together some type of a spring training program. Just the fact that we get a chance to talk about it gets, I think, people, their mind off of what we're dealing with.
Definitely.
Yeah, we need that. We need that. Yeah, we'll bring it back on. We're going to bring it back on.
We need that breath of fresh air.
Yeah, we're going to bring it back on when the book comes out. We got to run. By the way, you were a rookie in 74 because you didn't play for Don Shula, God rest his soul, when he drafted you in 71. You went to Toronto instead.
You will never forgive me.
This guy's got some, he's got some recall.
Between New York and Miami, said, I got no chance with you.
It ain't easy. It ain't with this guy. He knows all.
Oh, God.
No,
Joe Theismann, you're great.
You're great, Joe. What a great appearance.
We'll see you in a few weeks with the book, and thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Excellent job. Thank you. The great Joe Theismann.